right, Ron Ugly is out. Brandon Scott is in, and we're rocking and rolling. Big shout out again to Bud Light for making it possible. We got all kind of giveaways, y'all. We just gave away another $25 gift card. Miss Debbie with a sweet rig, a sweet Texans rig out here. She won that. So we've given away two $25 gift cards. We've got chair, and I'm gonna give both the chair and the cooler away together. And we've got two pairs of Texans Bills tickets this Sunday, courtesy of Bud Light. In fact, each pair comes with two wristbands that'll get you into the tailgate. The Bud Light tailgate, that is. So we'll give those. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give away the first pair of tickets at 4:30. We're gonna give away the first pair of tickets at 4:30.
Call that appointment listening, baby.
Yeah, we're gonna give the first pair of tickets away at 4:30, then we'll do the second pair in the 5 o'clock hour. I'll figure out when we're gonna drop these this chair and this cooler in there as well. I like the chair and the cooler sitting up in front of us so everybody knows how big Bud Light has come through here.
I can't lie to y'all, man. I'm a little upset that I'm not eligible to win this here, man. Because I'm sitting up here, I'm an employee, I'm part of the show. I can't look. If I was one of y'all, I'd absolutely be in for this. Put my name in the raffle box, trying to win one of these bad boys, man. Get into it.
Hey, big shout out to my boy Mike at Empower. Empower. I'm not gonna give you the rest of the place, but Mike, you know what I'm talking about. One of my wife's docs. She's I don't know if it's the kind of doctor that your wife necessarily wants to walk up to and go, "Hey, I saw your last name. I listened to your husband." My wife's like, oh, okay. Well, can we go back and get this done? But Big Mike, I appreciate you listening, man. The Astros getting eliminated last night.
Yep.
It was painful to watch. It's something that we here in Houston aren't used to. 8 years, first time not being in the ALCS or better. And the immediate thoughts as, again, the postseason turns to the offseason, we talked about Bregman a little bit earlier. We'll rehash that again in a bit. But even got into Tucker and I think we did get into Tucker.
Yeah, man, I think they got planning things to address, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they've got some – but for me – I'm curious, and I think it is something that will potentially be addressed. Do you think Joe Espada's the guy moving forward?
I think he showed that he was over the course of the year. So for me, earlier on in the year, I had some serious questions, and it was really less about Joe Espada and more about the state of the team, the writing feeling like it was being on the wall between the injuries and their window feeling like it was closing. They were an aging team. Or a team losing its players, players getting hurt. And I wondered, hey, is Joe Espada, you know, having this being his first managerial job, is he the right guy to get them through the transition of contender to, hey, now we're rebuilding? I thought Joe Espada was fine for, hey, just pick up where A.J. Hinch and then Dusty Baker left off, essentially, right? I thought that was fine.
Yeah.
But when it looked like, hey, you know what, we might need somebody a little bit more ground floor type, you know, like more of a builder type, I was concerned. Then the Astros got it together, and I think in no small part to some of the savviness and some of the moves and the steady-handedness, I would say, of Joe Espada. I think it was mostly, you know, things coming together, mostly a pitching staff coming together. But I did think that Joe Espada, aside from like the whole temperament thing and the leadership thing, and we had our issues with, hey, is this guy an alpha? Is he really the leader that you want? But I thought he pressed the right buttons in game as a manager. Some of the moves he would make, the way he would go to his bench, some of the pitching decisions that he would make throughout the year. I grew to become more and more comfortable with Joe Espada over time than I was in the beginning of the year when it was looking rough for everybody. I mean, there was a point in time where if your name wasn't Hunter Brown, Yordan Alvarez, and Jose Altuve, I could have all of you could have got it to step in for me as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
But over time, I did feel like by the time we got to the end of it, Joe Espada had won me over.
Yeah, I think I'm the opposite.
You think they need a different guy?
Well, I think both the last two managers they've hired, and Dusty was obviously a Hall of Fame manager. It's a different animal. But I'm just talking about the hiring process, like. I feel like when you hired Dusty, it was paramount that you go get a guy that can help these great players not only continue to win, but help these great players deal with the fallout of the sign-stealing scandal.
Yeah.
And we talked heavily about it. I thought he was a perfect fit for that, right? Now, he continued on, and as a Hall of Fame manager did some big things. I feel like, I know for me personally, Joe Espada, to me, was hired, and it was a hire that I wanted because I thought, again, at this point, it was paramount that you hire a guy that understands the clubhouse chemistry and the dynamic in that clubhouse. You got a lot of veteran guys in there. You got a chemistry that doesn't need to be disrupted. You need a guy that can just keep this train on the tracks, right?
Yeah.
And whether we think he did a good job or a bad job getting off in the weeds, I'm just curious of is he still the guy if this team is at a crossroads to where they've got to move on from a Bregman and it's kind of a semi-rebuild, if you will, is he the guy that's best suited for that? Look, when you've got a team that's been to seven straight ALCSs, hiring somebody that knows the ins and outs and has been in the building, I thought was, boom, the most important thing.
Right, right, right.
But now you've lost in the wild card round. You had the worst regular season that you've had for a big stretch over the 7-year run. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. I guess the jury's out for me. Like, it wouldn't shock me, nor would I be disappointed if they didn't find somebody else to be the manager for the Astros.
And see, what I'm saying is, I was where you are now in the beginning of the season when the you know what started to hit the fan. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I were on the same page going into it. Hey, yeah, this is the perfect fit to kind of get you into this transition from here to there. But then when it started to go off the rails, I was exactly where you are right now. Like, you know what, man? I'm not sure if this is exactly the guy to get you through that. But what I will say to his credit is throughout the season, he won me over in that way. I did grow to feel confident that, hey, Joe Espada can win with a ready-made team. Joe Espada can win with a kind of slung-together team, it felt like it was by the end of it. He gained my confidence over time in a way that he did not have it in the beginning because of the way things were going.
So are you rolling with Joe Espada or no?
I am. Everybody, to me, in the beginning, Joe Espada looked overwhelmed. The whole damn team looked overwhelmed. By the end of it, I thought that Joe Espada was an overachiever. I thought he was an overachiever for what they had, what they ended up with injury-wise, and not being nearly as good as we thought they were going in. Yeah, when you talk about your list of concerns with the Astros, Joe Espada would be far, far, far down the list. I would be fine with Joe Espada coming back.
Yeah, I tell you, I thought Joe did a great job. Now it didn't. It ended up being the reason we got ousted up out of this thing with Hader and Presley.
Yeah.
But I admired and respected the way he handled that in training camp. It wasn't no drag out, no playing, no games, no scared conversations. It was sitting down. Here's what we're gonna do, fellas. Is Presley's gonna get to eight? Hater's going to get the ninth. Now, whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant to me. The way he handled it, I thought was a plus. The way he handled Caratini and Diaz. Now, I'm hung up on at one point this year Diaz was batting ninth. I don't know what the hell that was all about. Like, that kind of stuff is silly to me. But he ended up, I think, managing both of those bats to where first and catcher and DH, I thought he did a good job getting the best lineup.
And that was a situation he inherited because first base was such a mess.
Sure, sure, sure.
So he had to navigate that. Somebody's got to figure that out when the management above you gives you nothing at first base. And look, now I got to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
I got to give Joe Espada credit for how he did that. And I'll go one step further, Clint. Out of all of the folks that are in some kind of position of power, let's go beyond the players, but from ownership to management to, you know, skipper, all the folks that are in some position of power, just based off of last year, I got the most confidence in Joe Espada than any of them. And shout out to Dana Brown for getting the Yusei Kikuchi deal done and all of that. But he's got some clunkers up there, too. Out of all of them, the most confidence that I got right now based off of the most recent receipts that I got is Joe Espada. Now, you can take that with a grain of salt and maybe not feel good about that in and of itself, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think there you talk about management. I do think that's interesting as well. Is Dana Brown calling the shots? How involved is Dana Brown? What's the dynamic with Joe Espada? It seemed like Dana Brown was pulling he was making a lot of the decisions definitely early on.
Yeah.
And definitely with the Jose Abreu deal and you know, early on with Jake Myers and even Diaz. And
Rafael Montero, they had to let go.
Yeah,
all of that.
It seems like that dynamic is interesting, too. And I don't know that it's – I don't know it because I'm not there every day. But it seems like there's something interesting about it. And I don't know that if you're going to go through a rebuild and I don't know if you don't need a manager that's going to be a little bit more, you handle that front office stuff and I'm going to handle this baseball stuff.
Yeah, I think Astros fans got to ask themselves two questions going into the offseason. A, what do you want your team to, what do you feel like your team needs to do to get back into that spot that they've been in over the last, you know, close to a decade? And so that's question one. But then question two is, do you trust the cooks in the kitchen to cook you a meal?
Yeah.
Like, do you?
Yeah.
Like, I think those are both valid and if you want to take it from Joe's spot all the way up, like, I think those are valid questions. What do you want this team to look like, and do you trust the folks in charge to make it look that way?
Well, we'll see. The Astros are out. We got a long offseason, a lot longer offseason with the Astros than expected, so we got a lot of conversations that'll be had. That man right there on the screen, Alex Bregman, number two, is going to be topic of conversation.
Ooh, boy.
As we move forward. All right, we've got an official Thursday injury report from the Houston Texans. This is a monster game on Sunday. Who's going to be on the field? Who's prepping? Who's practicing? Who's not? We will have the most recent report officially from the Houston Texans. We'll have that next right here on Sports Radio 16.